Take a ride. To talk to Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5 and dialing toll-free 1-800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, from Manila, Philippines, here is Art Bell.
One of the most interesting programs easily that we've ever done on Crop Circles. Freddie Silva is my guest, and if you have questions, and I have no idea how you could be listening for the last several hours and not have questions for Freddie, then grab one of those lines and come on aboard, because we're going to begin taking calls for Freddie in a very few moments. From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. Back to it in a moment. All right, just before we go to the phones, I want Freddie to have an opportunity to finish that story, because he had mentioned that there were beings present. So please, Freddie, do finish that story.
Oh, absolutely. One of the most interesting aspects of my life so far. Yes, I was sort of, I had these sort of very, very tall beings on either side of me, three either side of me and two at my feet. And they seemed to be sort of creating these gestures with their hands. There was no spoken communication taking place, but as I said earlier, there was this incredible feeling of unconditional love and support. And it's a feeling which I would love to experience more often in my life. It was just absolutely wonderful. And I wasn't really sure what was going on, except that suddenly I had this click, and I hit the ground with a thud, and 45 minutes had elapsed in a fraction of that time, because obviously it was a cassette tape that was playing in the background, and the tape had finished, and the mechanism had clicked. So what sort of validated the whole thing in my mind was that I went back to the bed and breakfast where I was staying, where a colleague of mine and also a fellow researcher, who ironically was also a psychic, and she basically, I met her at breakfast, and she asked me how the evening had gone, and I said, well, I'm trying to put it all into words. I just don't know where to even begin. And she began to spontaneously channel, and saying, well, they're telling me that they fed you information about a book you're going to be writing. And I said, what book? I don't want to write a book. I'm doing quite well with my life. Thank you very much. I've got better things to do with my life. And sure enough, a year later, I resisted it, and the book came out. I mean, 5 chapters came out in 1 week. I have no idea how that came out. And I can tell you, as a writer for many, many years, that just doesn't happen that fast. But she was able to describe in intimate detail everything that had happened that evening, and I didn't even tell her anything. And
that's
how it validated it for me. The whole thing really did happen. So it suddenly told me that there is another veil of reality out there, and it's very benevolent, and it's very helpful to us. And in fact, it's much closer to us than we believe. It's here, it's around us every moment of the day, always providing us with help, should we ever ask for it.
Okay, Freddie, let's go to the phones, take a call, and say, hello there, you're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell and Freddie Silva.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure it was me.
It is you.
Okay, what I wanted to bring up was pertaining to the Barbary Castle drawing in 1991 and a later one that showed the triangle with the circles or the circle equivalents inside the triangle has to do with the original meanings of that Barbary Castle. Just as the sighting in July 11th was 6 days away from the July 17th, 1991, which was Barbary Castle, as 6 days after that, it was signaling what to do about the 666. Barbary Castle is the Enigma instructions, one of which has to do with the Unholy Father entity, one the Unholy Son entity, and you notice there's six sections in the third portion. That basically the six plus the whole equals the seven unholy trinity, making nine in total. Those, and notice the triangle has the target over it, and if you target the triangle is what it's saying, putting the unholy at the devil's triangle, there's the real instructions.
All right. Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, ma'am. Let's just go ahead and ask Freddie if, Freddie, in all of your research, is there anything at all to indicate what this lady seemed to be suggesting, that there is some demonic influence here?
That's an interesting proposition. Well, first of all, I should clarify that 666, actually, it's actually the number of the sun. It has nothing to do with the devil. I mean, the devil is an invention of the human mind. It's just basically the unbalanced dark side of life, and 666 really has to do with the angles of the hexagon, which traditionally has been the sacred geometrical shape, which has been associated with the solar principle. So it's a series of numbers which has neither good or bad attached to it. It's just an energy principle. The other thing I'd say in defense of the Barbary Castle tetrahedron and also every crop circle that I've seen so far in my experience is that people who, or beings or entities or energy that's inherently dark, usually does not create beauty, and all of these things are beautiful. They are incredible, beautiful works of art. So I probably would err on the side of this being a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's certainly nothing to do with dark forces or anything. So
no, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to say, Freddie, that something on the dark side or evil could not be disguised as something beautiful. There are many people who believe that could be so, and certainly I believe 666 is pretty well known as the number of the beast, is it not?
Absolutely, but it's the interpretation that was attached to the number of the beast. I mean, there's been many interpretations of the Bible, and it's becoming quite obvious that there were many translation errors and also ideological interpretations that were built into the modern translations of the Bible, as far as I'm aware. And these were the interpretations of the day, which is mostly the interpretations of people who were living in the Dark Ages, which were very, very dark times in Europe. So, of course, the whole concept of the devil and the dark side of nature was very much predominant in people's minds at the time when they were translating this. So you got to take that into consideration. But people who are working on the more original interpretation of the Bible, from what I understand, seem to suggest that a lot of these principles that were turned into the sign of the devil actually were constructs of the Roman Catholic Church, which were using the powers of evil, of dark, of fear to try and keep whole populations under control by using fear as a motive. So you've got to keep that in perspective, I believe.
All right. Okay, well, let's go to our next call. You are now on the air with Freddie Silva and Art Bell. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, Art.
Sure.
Hello, Fred. Two questions, please. The quick question is, has anybody done DMT while in a fresh crop formation? And the second was, in 2003, Mountain Astrologer did a crop circle issue. There was a crop formation photograph by Lucy Pringle, and it was dated 2002, and it had no other reference to the picture. It showed a bus shot of a classic alien's upper torso in a rectangular frame, and the alien is flanked right next to him by a giant circle with raised, you know, etches, raised pixels like, and it looks like he's holding it in his hand like it's either a DVD or a data disk. And he's got a little smirk on his face, and I just couldn't help wonder if you were familiar with it. I figured if Lucy Pringle had photographed it, then it still doesn't prove it was a genuine crop formation. So, you know, no one's ever talked about this since I saw that, and I just wondered if anyone had gone in there to verify that alien bus shot, because the last alien before that was next to Arecibo just before 9/11.
All right. Hold it right there. We'll take them one at a time. The Lucy Pringle thing.
Yeah, I was actually in that formation, and in fact, I actually interviewed the farmers who owned the fields and people who lived nearby. And judging from their reports, it seems that the farmer was well aware that people were making that design over the course of several days. And the local residents also saw a lot of overhead lights being used at 2 o'clock in the morning. Supposedly by people trying to light the field. Now, I personally saw a lot of evidence of mechanical flattening in that field, and I also found strategically placed holes which had been covered up and filled back in at certain construction points, which were consistent with the construction of the design. So, thirdly, the fact that it actually doesn't resemble any other of these symbolic crop circles, and it's a very blatant image of one of the Star Trek characters from the first generation of Star Trek series, would suggest to me 90% convinced that it was a big joke perpetrated by the usual perpetrators. And in fact, the technique that they used, which is very, very clever, it's a technique often used in the printing industry to portray a picture with dots on a piece of paper to give it the illusion of a physical image, was used by the same team who had been making crop circles in England for a lot of money and for many, many years. They used the same technique to create other designs which were commissioned by the BBC in different parts of the country. So I'd have to say, hand on heart, that I'm not convinced by that design at all.
All right, and on the question of DMT, I'm not sure why he asked, but there are people who feel that some drugs are a gateway to some understanding that will not be gained otherwise. Any comments, Freddie?
I'm actually not familiar with DMT. What exactly is it?
It's a drug. It's a hallucinogenic kind of drug.
Oh, like LSD, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sort of.
And the question was, has anybody tried doing that?
Yes.
In crop circles? I would say no. I guess I got to cover myself on that one.
No, that's just fine. All right. Well, are you covering yourself, or did you give it a shot?
No, I prefer to be very lucid because one of the things that you'll find in the genuine circles is that your ability to think logically is greatly hampered by the frequencies inside the genuine circles, which start to shut down your left analytical brain. And many have been at the times when people have gone in, tried to measure things, and even in front of TV cameras, and we can't even count a straight from 1 to 10 because the functions of the logic brain start shutting down. And it's purely an after effect of the frequencies in the crop circle, which are shutting down your analytical mind to get into the intuitive side. So I tend to be more lucid when I go in there, because what's happening in there is already interesting enough by itself.
Got it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Freddie Silva and Art Bell. Hi. Hello there, East of the Rockies. Well, I guess you're not. Let me try west of the Rockies and see if you're on. No, apparently not. Okay, let's try our next call, such as it is, and say you're on the air with Freddie Silva and Art Bell. Hi.
Hello.
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 There you are.
Hi. I'm calling from Virginia, and my first question is, the music that Freddie felt compelled to listen to, was it possibly Pink Floyd?
That goes together with the DMT question, sort of.
I was going to say, that's a very good segue. No, it wasn't, actually. It's a good try. It was actually a piece of music by John Seary. John is renowned for making some of the most beautiful, beautiful astral music. He sort of paints with music, and he's commissioned by... planetariums around the world to create a lot of their soundscapes. So it was a piece of his. I was actually very moved by that particular piece of music, and I felt that it actually matched the particular idea with which I was going into the crop circle. And I think it matched the overall aura of the state of the crop circle as well.
Well, I don't know what DMT is, and I don't do drugs. But I met David Percy at Richard Hoagland's old house in Virginia when some crop circle researchers were there a long time ago. And we were having a lot of real deep discussions about tetrahedrons and sacred geometry and the crop circles and resonance and all that kind of stuff. And we were talking about, I was talking to David Percy about music. And I said, you know, I think that Pink Floyd was really onto something, because if you look at the cover of the Dark Side of the Moon album with the triangle and the light coming through,
yeah,
to me, there was a resonance there, and there's a resonance to their music. And we were talking about Glastonbury Abbey, too, and having this real strong feeling about Glastonbury. And he said, you know, he said, when I went to Glastonbury Abbey the last time, he said, I felt compelled to listen to Pink Floyd. And so that was just, that's why I asked you that question. And then that leads, that is a segue into something else. I thought it was very interesting that there was a recent crop circle that was a Star of David, which is actually the base of Glastonbury Abbey, is it not?
You mean the underlying geometry of the Abbey?
Yes. And you know, she's on to something in a way, because... Freddie, there's a definite relationship mathematically with, of course, music as well as crop circles. So I don't know. She could be on to something there. I don't know if it's particularly connected to any one group, but music is mathematic. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. And in fact, it's a very good question, because it does begin to demonstrate that anybody who works on a creative level, where the information comes from. And, you know, there's so much information out there to prove that whenever we're working with an intuitive level of information, whether you're a painter, a musician, or just daydreaming, that information, you basically drift off, part of your soul drifts off into another level of reality where you are extracting information from an astral reference library, and that's where the ideas come from. And that's where we sort of meet the circle makers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our ancestors also were able to do the same thing. They extrapolated the laws of the universe into which they hardwired into places like Stonehenge. And now we're finding the same information mathematically, musically, geometrically in the crop circles as well. So it all comes full circle to
Okay. Let's try West of the Rockies. You're on the air with Freddie Sullivan, Art Bell. Hi.
Hi, this is Ward in San Carlos, California.
Yes, Ward.
Yeah, I'd like to know what kind of tools they use to make the crop circles.
Uh-huh. You know, that actually is a very good question. Aside from Doug and Dave and their boards and chains, Freddie, what are the more modern methods of constructing these things?
Oh, it hasn't got any better than that. They either use
really?
Planks of wood or garden rollers, or in desperate cases, they actually take a lawnmower to the field, which is pretty obvious. But, yeah, the garden roller, I thought, was particularly inventive, because you've got to actually carry this thing, and then someone has to carry a few gallons of water and fill the garden roller with water, and then they use that. And I have to say, the ones that are made with garden rollers, they are much, much neater than the ones made with planks of wood, but they do obviously crimp the plants at the base, which is a very telling sign. So it's still crude, but after years of practice, some of these groups have got it down to a fairly good fine art. Even if at the end, when you go there, the evidence is very obvious on the ground.
Gotcha. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Freddie Sullivan, Art Bell. Hi.
Hi. How you doing, Art?
Okay, sir.
All right. My question for Freddie is, I know that during a lot of natural catastrophes or unnatural catastrophes, people have claimed to see a small silver disc in the sky, and mm-hmm. My question was, because during the last footage of the space shuttle entry that disintegrated, I noticed on some news channels they'd show one angle that would show, and I pointed out to all my friends that if you look in the background, there's a very small little silver ball disc. Mm-hmm. That's just hanging in the sky, like almost like, you know, he was talking about the watchers, almost like a watcher that knew this event was going to happen. Has he ever seen that footage, or has he ever checked out the footage of the space shuttle disintegrating upon entry and noticed this tiny little small ball? It's not an airplane, it's not an aircraft, it's stationary, but it's in the sky, and it's only on a very few angles that you could see it. Actually, only
okay,
one.
Okay, well, I'm sure that a lot of people are going to now go take a look at that. I know, I didn't know how it related to crop circles, but have you noticed anything of the sort?
It's a very good question, actually. It's very relevant, and I would never have believed it until I saw it myself, because I, too, heard about the accounts of people seeing balls of light or little silvery objects about the size of a beach ball, and there's been some very famous footage over the years of these things interacting with people in the fields. And having lived where I've lived, in the Vale of Pusey and in Wiltshire in England, I actually came across a lot of these many, many times, and I can tell you, in the evening, they are the most incandescent color, the most radiant color you'll ever see. It almost makes you, it brings you to tears, because the beauty of this color is incredible. And you can interact with them. They almost read your thoughts. They react to your thoughts. And,
Freddie, we've got to hold it there. The most beautiful thing you've ever seen. All right. With that, close your eyes, listen to the music, and see if you get anything out of that. We're at the bottom of the hour from Manila in the Philippines, where the rain is gently falling. I'm Art Bell.
Take a ride. To talk to Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk toll free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5 and dialing toll free 1-800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, from Manila, Philippines, here is Art Bell.
Indeed, Secrets in the Fields, the Science and Mysticism of Crop Circles. My guest is Freddie Silva, and if you'd like to get hold of his book as well as a DVD, there's a better deal than going, I guess, to Amazon, and that would be obtained on his website at www.CropCircleSecrets.org. That's CropCircleSecrets.org. In a moment, we'll get right back to Freddie Silva. My guest is Freddie Silva. Obviously, the subject, crop circles. Aaron, poor Aaron in Houston, Texas, was on the east of the Rockies line and got dumped by mistake. Sorry about that, Aaron. He says, when I got disconnected, I was about to ask Freddie if crop circles are a way to bypass government suppression of information to the general public. Freddie?
Ooh, good question. I guess yes, because they're revealing all kinds of esoteric information, which is not just bypassing governmental stuff. It's also bypassing about 2,000 years of religious indoctrination in the West, namely the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, and you can read into that all kinds of things. So yes, it's the rise of ancient information which has been going on for thousands and thousands of years in the human race. It's universal knowledge which is again coming to the fore. So I would say yes, it's bypassing the control mechanisms, and part of the reason that the watchers are laying down this information. Going back to what I was saying about the helping to raise human consciousness, was that we are coming to the end of a 4,000 year experiment in human consciousness, where we decided to give our power away from the many to the few, and it's part of an experiment that whose time has come and gone, and that's the good news. So we're in this age now, we're reaching the final stages of this evolutionary movement, where the powers that be are losing that grip, and in order to lose that grip, people are being fed this incredible universal library of information, which is helping to wake up the human race. So things are much, much better than we're led to believe, yes.
All right, let's go to the first-time caller line from Hawaii. You're on air with Freddie Silva and Art Bell. Hi.
How's it, gentlemen? Good to talk to you. Freddie, I have a couple questions for you, sir, please. First, how old or what's the earliest in history that crop circles are noted?
I think the earliest evidence that I have that I can say hand on heart is a pretty good indication that we're dealing with the same phenomenon is 1682, and it's actually written to a large degree, including diagrams of squares within circles, found in tall pasture in the county of Staffordshire in England, and it was written by no less than the director of the Ashmolean Museum in Oxford, which is a pretty good seat of learning, and he does describe in very good detail the same ground features and plant features that we find today. There's also mention of circles and witches' rings found in the doctrines of John Wayland, who was Henry VIII's chronicler in the 1500s, and he talks about the origin of Morris dancing and the patterns of the dancers, and it was said that the dancers get the geometric patterns for the dancers from the shapes, the geometric shapes that they find in the tall grass at the first thing in the morning. So the phenomenon's quite old.
Right, I can see that. I can see it being old. The second question, sir, thanks, is In the ones that you have determined personally to not be man-made, do you ever discover any mistakes or irregularities among the geometry?
Okay, that is very interesting. Or are they absolutely perfect?
Actually, no, they're not totally perfect. In fact, the genuine circles are never true circles. They're always slightly elliptical, which poses a real problem for hoaxers, because you need to put a stake in the middle of the ground and make a, you know, draw a line, radius, to which to get a perfect circle. The problem is that with the genuine circles, the center is always off-center, and the actual circle is slightly elliptical. And just like a Greek column on a temple, the further away you look from it, the more circular it becomes. In terms of mistakes, I wouldn't call them mistakes, but there's always one element inside the genuine ones, and I'll use the Barbary Castle tetrahedron as the most famous example of this, where one of the actual arms of the tetrahedron that subtends all the circles and rings of this design is slightly bent, to which all the naysayers were saying, well, obviously it's man-made, they made an error. Well, going back to the work of Colette Dowell and Percy and Myers, they actually took the ground surveys, which at the time were being done meticulously by a man called John Langrish, and they discovered that that mistake actually revealed a strategic angle of energy upwelling. And what
I don't know if you ought to be giving all this away. you may be telling the hoaxers how to do it better.
I'll tell you, since my book came out, their work went up incredibly. I mean, they tried to use all the stuff in my book. They weren't getting it quite right, but you could tell that they tried using it against us. So it's a double-edged sword. But
Police, you better hold a few things back. Wildcard Line, you're on air with Freddie Silva and Art Bell. Hi.
Oh, hi, Art. Hey, Freddie. This is Jeremy calling from Brooklyn. It's a fantastic show tonight.
Thank you.
I just have a quick question, and I'll get off the air after I'm done. You had mentioned a tribe in South Africa who had known about these formations for like thousands of years. Do they have any method of translating them? And if they do or if they don't, either way, is there any chance of getting together with them to try to decipher these messages from the circles?
Okay.
Okay. The information came from a renowned historian in South Africa called Credo Mutwa, who wrote it in a book called Isawil, which means the animal. It's very, very hard to get your hands on it. He basically chronicled the myths and legends of tribes as he walked through South Africa, and that's where the information came from. And from what I hear, the actual designs themselves, they told a story. They were symbolic, and they gave you archetypal information. They didn't mean anything specific to anybody per se. Unlike, for example, the Barbary Castle Tetrahedron Crop Circle, which is full of technical data of all kinds, as well as alchemical data and symbolical data to do with the Holy Trinity. So the actual message itself is more in terms of an archetype, which is not meant to be logicalized, it's meant to be internalized, and it brings spiritual evolvement to the individual who sees the design.
All right. East of the Rockies, your turn with Freddie Silva. Hi.
Hi, Art, Fred. Why, do you think these crop circles are done in live vegetation because they're time sensitive, and this way they don't have to erase them, the crops die and they're gone?
That's an interesting question also.
That is interesting. Wow, I get to learn something tonight. Actually, they occur also in non-vegetation, because they also occur in ice and snow, and they also sometimes very rarely occur on desert floors, for example, the Alva Desert. I think on the eastern Oregon border, there was a major crop circle there that was actually etched into the actual hard desert floor, made up of 13.3 miles of lines, creating the famous Sri Yantra Mandala. So they do happen in all kinds of shapes and forms and all kinds of media. But I think one of the reasons why they also occur primarily in wheat and barley is because wheat is also the symbol of the fertile mother. It's the symbol of Ceres, the Earth Mother herself. So in a way, it's also symbolic that it happens in that particular medium, and the fact that it also imprints the energy into the seeds, and those seeds are going into the food stuff, in other words, into bread, and we're actually eating and ingesting the seeds of the energy of the crop circles as we're actually doing it. So it's actually a very cunning plan.
Freddie, have you been able to validate or say that any of the crop circles that have, well, I shouldn't have said crop circles, any of the circles that have appeared outside of crop formations have been valid, for example, on ice or even on dirt or anywhere else?
The ones on ice are not to my knowledge. I don't think anybody's been able to actually take any samples or collect evidence to support the theory. They're just, at the moment, an anomaly. There was one case actually not far from me in Cape Elizabeth in Maine back in 97, where someone called me and they said there's a crop circle here in the snow. So I lived locally, so I just drove up here, and in fact it was an oval shape in the snow, no tracks going in and out, and the snow in the actual snow circle had been sort of slightly compressed about an inch just below the normal the actual new fall of snow. And when I actually took some electromagnetic frequency readings, the actual perimeter of the actual affected area did jump up in frequency. So it was an electromagnetic phenomenon. Now, where it's related to the crop circle phenomenon, that I can't say.
Okay.
That for sure.
All right, that's wild. We're short on time. Let me go to the wild card line. You're on the air with Freddie Silva. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Art and Freddie. I have a couple questions here for Freddie. One, if you've ever read or understood anything upon Edward Leed Scollin in Coral Castle in Florida. He built Coral Castle.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. Very much so. In fact, I wrote about him.
I did a lot of research. It took me about 10 years, but basically, mathematically, you can't explain how you can have three-dimensional magnetic field lines on a planet with just a north and a south. It'd be A, B, where's the C? Or where's a point along that line? And it was very disturbing to me. And I'm wondering if these circles happen to show up on basically where one of these lines come out of the planet. Like, say, okay, birds and animals are supposed to be able to see, and science has proven that they can see the magnetic disturbances of the magnetic field lines of the planet.
Well, science, I think, has proven that the birds follow the magnetic lines, but I don't know that they see them.
Well, they're supposed to be able to, like, you know, how they if something's going to happen, they fear it and they run from it, like a magnetic disturbance. So my question is, do these crop circles, like, land, or not land, but do they happen in general areas of, you know, where the strength is more, or sort of like mathematical, where it all comes together?
Okay. In other words, do these crop circles show up where there's a stronger magnetic influence on the Earth?
They, without exception, all the genuine crop circles always appear at the crossroads of magnetic lines of energy. It's the same lines that are shared, or the same nodes that are shared by all the sacred sites in the world, like the pyramids, Stonehenge, Avery Stone Circle, Standing Stones, the Ohio Serpent Mound. They all share the same crossroads of energy, and the diameter is always defined by the width of the energy at the time. The second thing is that inside the actual crop circle itself, the genuine ones, and this is what Colin Andrews found in his 20% theory, was that the Earth's magnetic field is shifted about 4 degrees inside that space. So they are definitely associated with the magnetic field of the Earth, which again validates the channeled material from 1987, which also mentioned the same thing, that the crop circles are created by a combination of sound, light, and the change and the manipulation of the local magnetic field. So all that has now been proved. Absolutely.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Freddie Silva and Art Bell. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Alan from Florida.
Yes, sir.
And my question is that with the crop circle and your out-of-body experience that you had in the middle of the crop circle, how much do you know of the out-of-body experiences that could connect it to your experience in the crop circle? And, as well, a question about the individuals in the houses that were next to the alien crop circle that was pointing at the code. Exactly, is there anybody else that can validate for your claims that they saw these people there?
The answer to the second one is that I seem to be in the minority of people who are willing to say the truth and to be objective about what I hear.
Well, truth is a questionable answer, actually.
Oh, absolutely. It's a truth is a personal thing, absolutely. And all I'm saying is I'm regurgitating the information that I was given by the people that I interviewed in the area. So I only have their word to go by, and also what my eyes and ears saw when I go into the crop circle, and the evidence that I uncovered, which led me to believe that there was a mechanical flattening process.
Are their names public?
Which names?
The names of the individuals that saw these people doing the crop circles. And pointing to the picture.
Oh, no, they've never been made public. I mean, these are local people who prefer not to have their names mentioned across the paper because they don't want their houses invaded by people, because that's essentially what happens afterwards. They are descended upon by hundreds of enthusiasts, and the English don't really like that kind of thing. They're very private people, so they'd rather just
that mention. Seems like an opinion to me.
Well, it's not an opinion. It's a fact based on facts gathered by myself at the actual location, so... you'll just have to take my word for it, rightly or wrong.
Okay. Well, I can well imagine they wouldn't want to be assaulted. West of the Rockies, you're on air with Freddie Silva. Hello.
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 Good morning.
Hello, Freddie.
Good morning.
Good morning. I've got just a simple question, I guess. Why are the crop circles basically concentrated in England?
It's a good question. There's a few reasons for it, and it's mostly to do with the geography and the type of rock that they prefer. One of the fundamental things that they require for their creation is water. Now, there's several reasons for this. One is because they are actually imprinting information into the water, which Jacques Benveniste in France has been able to prove. And also because of the large concentration of surviving sacred sites anywhere in the world, and that part of the world has them, and which brings us ultimately to the big question as to why the crop circles are appearing, because wherever they appear in the world, and even here in America, they always appear next to ancient sacred sites, as if they're trying to remind us of a connection that needs to be made again, because those sacred sites were built with the exact same templates and principles of the crop circles that are using. So what the circle makers are saying is that, first of all, they're using the geology to create the designs in an area which has a lot of water trapped in the actual rock on which they appear. And also, they appear next to the sacred sites to get us to look back at our ancient history, to go back to these places which were very, very special. They were places where you'd have healings and altered states of awareness whenever you walk into places like Stonehenge. And that ultimately is the connection that they're trying to make. They're getting us to look back at our history at a time when we need to reconnect with these fundamental natural principles so that we can regain the balance in life.
All right, Freddie, we don't have a lot of time. Let's try one more. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Freddie Silva. Hi.
Good morning, Art and Freddie from Northern New York.
Hi.
My question, sir, is it possible, earlier in your show you spoke of these crop circles being created by benevolent watchers? Is it possible that maybe they're pointing us into something we direly need in this day and age, alternative energy?
Yeah, it seems to be the way, because Isabel's channeling also mentioned the fact that by 2007 people would be used, and I mean that in a nice way, to unravel the technical information of the crop circles to develop energy devices which were based on the illusion of time, the manipulation of gravity and magnetism, and that appears to be the, what's happening, with people quietly beavering away to find out this information. So yes, I do believe that that is part of the actual message behind them, and what they're actually trying to do for us.
All right, Freddie, you have been a joy to have on the program. I really have enjoyed having you this evening. It's been a hell of a program, really. I hope your book does well. I hope people go to your website and grab that up and they get the DVD with it. That's, of course, CropCircleSecrets.org. That's CropCircleSecrets.org, correct?
Absolutely. And thank you, Art, as well, for bringing all this information to the light. It's you're doing a wonderful service to humanity.
Thank you, my friend, and good night.
Good night.
All right, that is Freddie Silva, and that was one whale of a program, and it's been one whale of a weekend. We'll do it again next weekend. I want to remind you I'm available by email. I have two email addresses, artbell@aol.com, that's ArtBell at AOL.com, or more likely artbell@mindspring.com. So for this weekend, from Southeast Asia, I'm Art Bell. Night all.